The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome to the Pilgrim.
Good morning.
It's good that I can remember not to say Trinity. You may or may not know that I am now on site at Trinity in Fairfield supervising Vicar Devin Jackson and trying to get him ready for ordination. Since Pastor Shockley retired from Trinity, he did all the labor before, so now I'm filling in there for assisting them. Our catechesis this morning on this sixth Sunday of Easter is found on page 326, if you need it. We're looking at confession and what sins should we confess.
Before God, we should be guilty of all sins, even those we are not aware of, as we do in the Lord's Prayer. But before the pastor, we should confess only those sins which we know and feel in our hearts.
So, for example, I would encourage you to turn back in your hymnal, page 292. This is the service of individual confession and absolution. And I just wanted to point out to you some of the things that are reinforced from Luther's catechism about what sins should we confess. Luther says, we are guilty of all sins, even those we are not aware of. But before the pastor, we confess only those sins that we know in our hearts. So let's look at one of our services, and this is what I use with Pastor Galler, who is my father confessor, when I come for private confession. And you'll notice that it says, first of all, the red rubrics at the top, you may prepare yourself by meditating on the Ten Commandments or the penitential Psalms. But notice its instruction. If you are not burdened by particular sins, do not trouble yourself or search for or invent other sins. Now this I find interesting. I've got enough sins. I don't have to invent any more. Thereby turning confession into a torture. That's not the purpose. What we hear Pastor Gallo telling us again and again is individual confession for the sake of what? Absolution. The main thing is that we receive the absolution and the forgiveness of our sins. Instead, mention one or two sins that you know and let that be enough. So you'll see that there's a suggested confession. And at the end of that confession, you'll notice a rubric that says, if you wish to confess specific sins that trouble you, continue as follows. So when it says, if you wish, that's much different than saying you must, correct? If you wish, then you may, and the pastor might, gently instruct you not to pry too much, but to assist in self-examination. And then we conclude by saying, I'm sorry for all of this. Ask for grace and want to be better. The key thing I want to point out to you here, though, is this idea is that if you wish to confess specific sins, you certainly may do so. And you may trust your pastor to be confidential about that. But it is not necessary, because the main thing is that we receive from the pastor, as from God himself, the forgiveness of all of our sins. So, sometimes in the confession, we hear the private individual and the private absolution being referred to as a sacrament. And other places, we talk about it being a continuation of our baptism. I'm not going to argue the point, but when people ask me how many sacraments are there, I normally say three. Because I like this idea of the sacramental aspect of God's Word together with the pastor's touch coming to us, and we receive the forgiveness of sins from the pastor as from God himself. Any questions or comments about this section of the catechism? Well, the service of preparation for Divine Service 1 begins on page 151. Please stand as you are. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
To the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
God, now and forever.
Amen.
first reading for the sixth Sunday of Easter is written in the second book of St. Luke the Evangelist, commonly called the Acts of the Apostles, the 17th chapter. In those days, Paul was waiting for them at Athens. His spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him, and some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities, because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection." And they took hold of him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you: the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said. For we indeed are his offspring. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I will perform my vows to you. that which my lips are uttered.
And my mouth promised when I was in trouble.
I will offer to you burnt offerings of fattened animals with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams.
I will make an offering of bulls and goats.
Come and hear, all you who fear God.
And I will tell what he has done for my soul.
I cried to him with my mouth,
and thy grace was on my tongue.
If I had cherished iniquity in my heart,
the Lord would not have listened.
But truly God has listened.
He has attended to the voice of my prayer.
Blessed be God,
because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Bless our God, O peoples.
Let the sound of his praise be heard.
The epistle is written in the first letter of St. Peter the Apostle to the exiles of the dispersion, the third chapter. Brothers, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? Even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Remain standing, if able, for the hymn of the day, number 556.
Christians, one and all, we share. steadfast and believing, like will from ever-loving dreaming, my innocence shall bear your sins, and you are blessed forever. Now to my Father I depart, from earth to heaven ascending, and heavenly wisdom to impart, the Holy Spirit sending. In trouble he will comfort you, and teach you all things to be true, and into truth shall guide you. What I on earth have done and taught, guide all your life and teaching, so shall the kingdom's work be wrought, and honor in your preaching. The cross that's closer place the Lord, the heavenly treasure to destroy. This final word I leave you.
You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. In 1965, the English rock band The Beatles produced their fifth studio album. The title of the album, Help, was not only a hit song, but six more of the 14 tracks appeared as a part of the soundtrack for the film by the same name. According to Wikipedia, the song was primarily written by John Lennon. Although it was written out of the need to have a title song for the album, Lennon remained extremely proud of Help from the Beatles' breakup all the way to his death. He felt it was one of his real songs, explaining in an interview, quote, "The whole Beatle thing was just beyond comprehension. I was eating and drinking like a pig, and I was dissatisfied with myself. Later, I knew I was really crying out for help." The lyrics, as you may remember, included the following. "When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down, and I do appreciate you being round. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please, help me." You're glad I didn't sing it.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
In my experience, those particular lyrics resonate with many people who find it hard to ask for help. Yet at some point, because of lack of resources or even physical or mental abilities, most of us ask for help. In today's gospel reading, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth." Jesus, God's Son, recognizes our need for help. And so, based on the gospel, we consider the theme, another helper. The immediate context of our text is what is known as Jesus' farewell discourse in St. John's Gospel. These words were spoken in the upper room at the Passover observance. Jesus had already washed his disciples' feet. Jesus had already left the meal to betray Jesus. Jesus has told the remaining disciples that he is going to prepare a place for them, as we heard in last Sunday's gospel. Now, Jesus gives us a description of the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And so, the sixth Sunday of Easter is a mini Pentecost, as it were, before the Feast of Pentecost in 2 weeks, as we hear Christ sending the Helper, or as it is in the Greek text, the Paraclete. The King James Version translates Parakletos as Comforter, whereas the New International Version translates it Counselor. In my opinion, that's not likely the best interpretation. To call the Holy Spirit a mere counselor may make one erroneously think of contemporary psychological counseling. At any rate, the question arguably is inevitable. Jesus promises another helper. If there is another, then there must be an existing helper. Who then is that? 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 uses Parakletos to refer to Jesus. Here we have a Paraclete, translated advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. This is forensic language. It spells out the legal connotation of Paraclete. We have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, is the way the New International Version translates that verse. The role of Christ is described in Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. And again, in St. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, so everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. And again, in today's epistle, Christ died to bring you to God. So Jesus, and now also the Holy Spirit, are our advocates, helpers, counselors, comforters, defenders, whichever word you would choose to use. Indeed, the Holy Spirit's role is spelled out by Jesus later in the chapter of today's gospel when he says, "The Holy Spirit will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said." In the 15th chapter of St. John's Gospel, Jesus says the Spirit will testify about him and will guide you into all truth in chapter 16. Likewise, the divinely inspired St. Paul writes in Romans 8, the Spirit himself intercedes for us. In the opening statement of our text, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." These are not the commandments of the Mosaic law. These are the precepts and principles that are ours by virtue of our faith in Christ. The words of today's collect are helpful in explaining this. Quote, "By your holy inspiration, grant that we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding, accomplish them." Or, as we sung in the hymn of the day, "He will teach you always to be true, and into truth shall guide you. What I on earth have done and taught, guide all your life and teaching." When Jesus says that we keep these teachings, that word in Greek means to have watchful care, to cherish and to protect that which is a treasure. So that which we treasure is not merely a list of do's and don'ts, but it is the very word of Christ himself. And when Jesus speaks of love, he uses only one of four possible Greek words for love. He doesn't use philos, the Greek word for brotherly love, as in Philadelphia. He doesn't use eros, the Greek word for erotic love. He doesn't use storge, the Greek word for familial love, not used in the New Testament, but still in the Greek vocabulary of that time. Jesus specifically uses the Greek word agape, selfless, unconditional love, often described as the purest form of love. This is the love God has for you and for me. Do you see the problem? If you love me, Jesus says, we don't cherish or treasure God's word as we should. And that makes our agape love for Christ weak at best or non-existent at worst. There's no question that we need another helper. Indeed, we need all the divine assistance possible. In fact, without such help, we will experience not only temporal death, but also eternal torment in hell. This is what we deserve because of this sin. All our other actual sins of commission and omission. And because, as we said earlier, we are by nature sinful and unclean. Christ's enormous gift to the church is the Holy Spirit. Another helper who will be with us forever. He is our helper in the sense of advocate, comforter, defender. Jesus says the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth because he imparts the true knowledge of God, which includes the redemptive work of Christ Jesus. He reveals the truth of our salvation. Even the Athenian philosophers in today's first reading asked St. Paul to help them understand this new teaching of Christ which he presented. While the world is incapable of receiving him, we followers of Jesus, because of the Holy Spirit, do receive him. Jesus says, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Dwelling with us and in us, the Spirit of truth, another helper, brings to us the knowledge of the first helper, Jesus the Christ, who obtained salvation for us. In today's epistle, we heard, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Except for the indwelling spirit, we cannot comprehend how the Father makes salvation possible by sending Jesus to the cross. At the cross, Jesus carried all sin for all humankind for all time. Jesus is your substitute, the innocent for the guilty. He suffered and died in your place to pay the penalty for your sins. He rose again from the dead, victorious over sin, Satan, and death. And now the forgiveness of sins and new life are available to you through faith in Jesus. We have another helper who imparts the gift of faith in us, manifests the truth to us. And to accomplish this, he uses the Word of God in all of its forms, the means of grace, the Word in Holy Scripture, by which the Spirit of truth will declare God's grace in Christ and lead us to the proper worship of God in spirit and in truth. The word with water in holy baptism, which really saves us, which today's epistle reading declares, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The word, together with the pastor's touch and holy absolution, which brings the comfort and consolation of having the forgiveness of sins applied personally and individually as if from God himself. The word, together with bread and wine and the Holy Supper, which feeds and strengthens us with the true body of Christ given for us and the true blood of Christ shed for us, bringing us the forgiveness of sins and so also life and salvation. Through the word and sacraments, the Holy Spirit calls and so enables us to repent and believe. He makes us contrite on account of sin. He gives us faith to believe the gospel, which tells us that sin is forgiven and grace has been obtained. When we repent, then God forgives our sinful nature and all our actual sins. He forgives us for the sake of Christ and empowers us to want to do better than to keep on sinning. The movie Help portrays the Beatles' struggle to protect bandmate Ringo Starr from a sinister Eastern cult and two mad scientists who together are obsessed with obtaining a ring sent to Ringo by a fan. Today, we have seen that we have the best and most dependable helpers in matters of rescue from sin and evil. Christ gives another helper who testifies to you about God, who reminds you of Jesus' redeeming work and words, and who guides you into all truth. Real truth and help in time. Real truth and help which will be fulfilled in eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The peace of God which surpasses our understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I believe in one God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us then, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again in glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. With praise and thanksgiving to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that each Christian, strengthened by the good news of life in Christ and by the help of the Holy Spirit, may gladly tell others of the hope they have. For us and for all who believe, that we faithfully might receive God's forgiveness through his word and sacraments, and do the good works of his commandments in keeping with our callings in life, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church on earth, that she might devote herself to cherishing the command of Christ with the help of the Spirit. For those persecuted for their true faith in Jesus, that mindful of God they might endure sorrows while suffering unjustly. For the Missouri Synod, Texas District, and this circuit, that those with oversight responsibility would hold pastors and congregations accountable to their commitments to teach and practice according to Holy Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. For pastoral candidates to be called and pastoral vacancies to be filled. For Lutherans for Life, that they might equip Lutherans and their neighbors to be gospel-motivated voices for life, upholding the God-given value of human life and influencing society to do the same. And for this congregation, that God would unite us in true belief and confession, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For us and all the baptized, that we would die to sin and live to righteousness and so resist all temptations. For all who receive Holy Communion today, that they would know Christ who does not leave us as orphans, but strengthens the faith and equips the love of his penitent children with his very body and blood. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who have never believed and those who have strayed from the faith, that the Lord would work through us to reach them as he prepares us to make a defense for the reason for the hope that we have. And so add to our number day by day those who are being saved. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
With thanksgiving for recent rain, more rain, and that more of our state and other areas afflicted by drought might be free of drought conditions and give thanks to God, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For peace and unity in the world, especially in the Middle East and between Russia and Ukraine. And in this country, especially for a functioning federal government and civil relations with and between the states. For the safety of non-combatants in war zones. For all those who govern us on every level of government, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. And for all who serve in the United States Armed Forces and in police departments. For first responders and firefighters, that they may all be protected, upheld, and granted discernment, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Brady, Jason, David, Charles, and all who travel, whether for work or for pleasure, by land, sea, or air, that their ways may be safe and their homecomings joyful, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who mourn, that they may be comforted by the sure and certain hope of the resurrection of the body. For victims of violent crime, that they would be restored. For those in prison and their families, that they would have hope and patience. For those shut in, that God, by his word and sacrament, would be present with them where they are. For David, Tracy, Margaret, Tina, Katie, Elaine, Gwen, Robert, Linda, Jim, Ann, Steve, and all those in need of healing, that God would deliver them from their afflictions in his way and time. And for all those who serve in medical professions, that they would have all necessary wisdom and skill, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our mothers, that with thanksgiving we may honor them aright, as Christ honored and obeyed his mother while here on earth. And for all women with child, that God would give them safe delivery. And for all women who long to have children but cannot, that they may find their consolation in Christ and his unfailing love. For all families, that they would be places of God's unconditional love and forgiveness. To all expectant mothers and their children, that they would be brought safely through delivery and into the kingdom of God and given new life in the waters of holy baptism. For all God's people, especially those without spouses or children, to be content in their circumstances. For us to better protect God's gift of human life from society's evils of legalized abortion and assisted suicide. And for all schooling, that God would bring through the remainder of the school year those who teach, those who learn, and those who support them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Thank you.
Mary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
I'm Thank you.
an old saying that's really true, it's going to be home. Good to be back with you this morning. Don't know when we'll work all out that again. Depends on someone's motivation. Are there any announcements from the congregation? Thank you, Debbie, for playing Artemis this morning.
My fingers are really tired.
Pastor Gower should be back this week. He's still traveling, so he's worthy of our prayers for safety and his homecoming. I look forward to being with you.